Welcome to the Gab and Jules show, a special show, not just because we've got Shura Robson with us and Nader Manua as well, but because it is the show before pretty much every big league starts. We've got the Premier League starting this weekend, La Liga, the Bundesliga. Liga has already started.
With not Serie A.
Serie A the week after, yeah. You're right. But still, a big show. We'll talk about something else as well, Robo, you know that.
Mm. We have to talk about something else.
Messi! 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 This is it. But let's start with the Premier League.
Yeah, shall of we? Course. Why not?
And we welcome Nader Manua. Nader, sorry for the screaming in your ear. No, are you as excited as me about Messi?
Yeah. So I am somebody who loves Lionel Messi. I fall on the Messi side of the Messi-Ronaldo debate. And I know that annoys a lot of people. But it's weird to see him not playing for Barcelona. That's the thing that will confuse me the most. Yeah. When he puts on that PSG shirt and he's playing in the games. I will always be behind him, but obviously for people like yourself, this is the greatest week in history, and I'm sure he'll be fantastic. So it's a shame that he had to leave, but you know, this is the world we're in right now, and good luck to him. I hope he continues to absolutely dominate the game like he has done for the last 15 years.
Thank you for your wishes, my friend. I mean, let's talk Premier League then. And Nader, we will start with City, of course, the champions. Are they still for you the favourite to retain that title? Are you happy with the Grealish arrival? Are you waiting for Kane now to make this team unplayable, unbeatable?
I don't think any team in the Premier League is unplayable or unbeatable, but I think if they did bring in a nine like Kane, it would probably make me feel more confident, because I think City probably are the favourites because they've got such a good history in the last few years in terms of either winning it or being very close to winning it. So they're going to be going into this next season with that level of experience again. But I think when you look at Chelsea bringing in Lukaku, that's huge. Mm. When we looked at them last year, it seemed like that was the thing which they were missing, somebody who can just get 20 goals in the league season, you know, and can just take the game by the scruff of the neck if need be at any particular point. And then United have got the big boost with Varane, huge boost with Sancho. Liverpool have got their main players back like Van Dijk. So there's a lot of positive energy, and I think City kind of addressed that with Grealish. But I think this year the league's probably going to be as close as it has been for a very long time amongst more than just two teams. I think for the last few years, up until last year, it was like City, Liverpool and so on. But I wouldn't be surprised if, say, Man United and possibly Chelsea, that maybe that top four might be spread by maybe 6 or 7 points in total when the season's done, with the top two or three maybe being 4 points or something like that separated, because it feels that close. But hopefully everything falls on the blue side.
I agree. I think it would be a very open title race. Do you agree, Robert? Do you think this is the most competitive that maybe we've seen?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Nedim just mentioned it, Lukaku. If they play to his strengths, he's going to be a massive advance to Chelsea. I think people don't realise what his strengths are anymore. When he went to Inter Milan, he was useless with his back to goal. Yeah. But they made him so much better, and he became the target man. Everything went through him. They looked to play it into his feet time and time again. He got other people into the game. He's got himself turned. If they can get that out of him, Chelsea are going to be a fantastic team. I still think Man City do need a centre-forward. You know, Jesus, I don't think, has ever been quite good enough. Ferran Torres played in the Community Shield last week and hardly had a kick of the ball for the first half of the game. So I think they do need a centre-forward, but they're still, in my view, the favourites because they've got great players all around and they've got the best coach. You know, he was still trying different things at the Community Shield last week, how he played, got his full-backs to play. Liverpool, I think Jurgen Klopp has got to make sure that he gets the intensity back into his team. It wasn't just the injuries. They lack that intensity to close the ball down and play with that intensity.
But you think they can?
I think they can.
You don't think they have to evolve a little bit in the way they play?
I think they have to evolve a little bit. I think they have to choose the right times when to press and when to be compact in midfield, but still press high in midfield, but be more compact and allow the opposition to play into midfield. But I think they can still be a good defensive side, but they have to play with intensity. If they don't play with intensity, Liverpool aren't anywhere near the same side.
Yeah. I mean, for Chelsea and Lukaku, Nader, just before I ask you about Tuchel, I agree. I think this is the missing link. For me, Tuchel has done some great things, but there was one piece of the jigsaw missing, and that was up front, whether you go and get Haaland or Lukaku in this case. And that's why I think, for me, their favourite to win this title slightly, just slightly over City. But do you think, Nader, that the pressure on Tuchel now, because he arrived at the end of January, there was almost no expectation apart from try to finish top four when you arrived and the team was ninth. The fact that he's done so well and won the Champions League and now won the European Super Cup and all of that, increase the pressure on him now that Lukaku is there, because, as we said, there's no weakness now anymore in that team.
No, not at all. And I think for Chelsea in general, throughout my years, basically since Abramovich took over, there's pressure on whichever manager's in play anyway, going into the next season. Because what happened the year before, it might buy them this next season, but there's no guarantee the season after is going to be there. You know, whether they've won a Champions League, finished fourth like they did with Lampard, with an embargo. So I think the pressure comes in that spot anyway. But I think in someone like Tuchel, I think he's ready for that. I think having been where he's been in the past and, you know, managing to get a team, get Chelsea to the Champions League final and to win that as theoretical underdogs or whatever, I think he's ready for the challenge. And I think the signing of Lukaku, if he does come in, it's a lot of money to spend, but it's something which you can feel, I think pretty much everybody can feel, is the missing link, as you're saying. And when they do have that, if they play anywhere like they did in that last 6 months of the season, they could be a fantastic team. But I think with the players that he has in there and his own mentality himself, I think that pressure doesn't really matter, because people understand when you play for Chelsea, the standard is very, very high. They're not going there to try and say we're going to finish top four. They're playing that team. They're playing for that team, and they're bringing in people like Lukaku to try and win trophies, win leagues and stuff like that. And that's always been the case for Abramovich, which is why historically, even though they've had a ton of managers, they've also had a ton of success. So I don't think the expectation changes for him, and I think he gets that. But to mention something which you guys said before, when we're talking about Liverpool, I think a key factor which we're missing here is that Anfield crowd. Mm-hmm. Like I spoke with somebody yesterday, Julian Lescott it was, and he said he would rather play a full-strength Liverpool team in an empty stadium than an under-strength Liverpool team at a full Anfield, because that place is insane. And when we look at the fact that last year they lost maybe four games there or something, before that they'd not lost at home in 2-3 years. And I think when they have that back, maybe that'll affect their tempo, maybe that'll affect the player confidence, and that'll affect the opposition as they arrive there. And I think that will be a big thing that will make them more competitive this year as well.
It doesn't just affect the opposition. When I've watched Liverpool play at Anfield, it affects the referee more than anybody else. They get away with a lot of tackles that no other players will get away with.
That's right.
Because the crowd get onto the referee, there's the hostile atmosphere. They fly into challenges in midfield, they win the ball back and then counter-attack. That doesn't happen with no crowd there because the referee is influenced by that.
So let's talk about United then. We had a show last week, I think, where we went over the recruitment, and in fairness, even with Grealish, I think, going to City, when you signed Jadon Sancho and Rafael Varane in the same transfer window, this is pretty impressive. And we said on paper they've got a really good team. We've highlighted as well the pressure on Solskjaer now, because he got a new deal himself.
Yep.
And Mark Ogden was a bit surprised, let's put it that way, for him to get a new deal. But certainly now, the team that he has on paper, Robbo, is pretty impressive. And if he will have to be at the level of that team if he wants to deliver trophies.
Absolutely. He's got to get the best out of Paul Pogba, that's for sure. Wherever he wants him to play, whether it's in a two or with a three, he's got to get the best out of Paul Pogba, because he's still, for me, one of the best midfield players in the world. He's got to get the best out of the wide players. He's got to make the wide players, whether it's Rashford, whether it's Sancho, whether it's Greenwood, whoever he plays in those wide areas, he's got to get them better tactically in terms of playing higher up the field. And when teams are playing with a low block and they're making sure they're compact, they've got to find ways of breaking through that rather than always going too deep to get the ball. And I think they've got to make sure that whoever plays at centre forward, whether it's Cavani, whether it's Martial, whether it's Rashford, that they're willing to run in behind. That hasn't been the case when teams defend quite deeply against them. Even when teams defend deeply, you still have to make runs in behind, you know, and they didn't do that enough, Manchester United, when teams sat deep. That's where Solskjaer's got to improve his team.
I think it'd be fascinating, Nadim, to see how he plays and who plays and where. Can you play Sancho, Cavani, Rashford, Bruno, Pogba, and only have one of Fred, Matic or McTominay holding? Or do you have to play with Fred and McTominay every time and then see what you do with the others?
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to go with just 1-6. That's what it sounds like. Yeah. But then if they're going to go for, say, 1-6 and 2-8s, like Pogba and Fernandes both playing eights, I think that suits Pogba probably more than Fernandes, because there's still an element of having to come back with that. But in something that Stuart was saying there, I think that's exactly right in terms of being able to stretch a game. Because sometimes I think as a team, you can look good, but you can look good playing in front of the opposition. If you don't have the threat in behind, you'll never be able to really have the stuff shorter as well. And I think with the players that they do have, when they are like that and they are more dynamic, I think they do look a better side. If somebody stretches the game, maybe that creates more space for a Fernandes, creates more space for a Sancho coming short. And as a defender, you don't know whether you're coming or going, but when you know it's in front of you, it's a lot easier to defend against. But in United, it sounds like Solskjaer is trying to go more front foot with his approach and almost get rid of some of that conservative thinking where he used to like the two sixes and so on. And maybe that's because he's brought in a Varane who he thinks can probably defend better 1v1 than other people. So maybe they will be more open. But I suppose the ultimate test will be in saying this is what you're going to do, but in a month, 2 months' time, if that's not working, will he go back to what he was doing beforehand? And then if that's going to be the case, who's going to be missing out? And that pressure is really going to ramp up. Because, you know, we talk about the fact that he signed that deal, and I think Mark Ogden was saying the biggest issue was the length of time in which it was when you look at other managers who were on two-year deals. And I get that. But yeah, at the end of the day, you know, this guy is a manager of Manchester United, and they need to be winning stuff to be Manchester United. When they're not, this iteration of them isn't United. Mm. And I think with the players that they've brought in, they're trying to make that statement. So I think they will try and be more attacking, but I suppose the ultimate test will be, like, if it's not going well, does Solskjaer have it in him to be able to keep it consistent and say, this is what we're going to do, and we will find success even if it's not here right now?
Sancho obviously was one of yours before. I won't go into does it hurt to see him with a red shirt, but
yes, it does. Please carry on.
Well, it does hurt, but how crucial by both of you will he be in that team, because he's still young and we obviously know what happened at the Euros in that final, which was very unfortunate for him. The price tag, the expectations of even just him coming back to England, not just the other club of Manchester, but just coming back to England with this big reputation of being one of the most exciting, talented young players in the whole of Europe, really. So how much pressure is he also under?
He's going to be under a lot of pressure. But what he brings to Manchester United, I think, is that they've got players with pace, and Sancho's got pace as well. But what he's also got is that trickery and that ability to go past people in tight areas. Rashford hasn't got that ability. Rashford's great when there's space to run in behind and there's space to run with the ball at pace. I think Greenwood's a little bit similar. He's got a bit more, I think, technical ability than Rashford. Sancho takes it up to another notch, and that's why Man City bought Grealish, because he can do that in tight areas. And that's why Sancho's been brought to break down the opposition when they sit deep and stay compact. And that's what teams have struggled to do in the Premier League so far. Manchester City do it with their passing. Haven't always done it, but they didn't do it against Chelsea in the Champions League final because they didn't have anybody to go past people with the ball. Manchester United couldn't do it when teams drop deep. Now they've got a player that can go past people.
Marcus Rashford, by the way, who had his shoulder surgery, who went well, but we'll be missing for
quite a while,
for 10 to 12 weeks. We all agree that the top four won't be anybody else than City, United, Liverpool and Chelsea?
Not for me, no.
So what about the rest then? What about a Leicester team that's come so close, Nathan, in the last two seasons? Even a bit unfortunate, really, not to make a top four. First season, the pandemic. Last season, I think maybe the FA Cup and their run in the FA Cup took the eye off the ball. But it still went down to the last game of the season where they could have still finished top four. Where do you see them? Very interesting signings, but the loss of Fofana could be very costly, even if they go and sign Vestergaard.
Yeah, I think... I see them as being... I think Leicester are a very, very good football team. But I think sometimes some of their success, even though there's a lot of good play that comes from them, some of that comes from, say, poor play from traditional big four type teams. Like looking at it last year, there was a significant spell where Liverpool were off the pace and Chelsea were off the pace. And as a consequence, Leicester, you know, they played really well and they took that opportunity. But when those teams gained a bit of momentum, it seemed like it was harder for Leicester to be able to continue with that. And I know they had injuries, but ultimately, you know, it's a 38 game season. So you need to try and have some level of consistency throughout that to be able to finish in the top four. That's why certain teams do it and other teams don't. But I think Leicester are capable of beating anybody on their day. But it just, at this moment in time, doesn't feel as if... Like, the four teams who we're talking about here are four teams who we think can win a league. I don't think Leicester this season can win a league with the team and the setup that they have. So when you have four teams who are capable of doing that, they're the ones who I will always favour to finish in the top four because they're in a different race. And if you lose that race, you end up being in the top four. Whereas for Leicester, trying to finish in the top four, you know, that's more of their goal. I do think they're really good, and I think they fall alongside at this moment in time. I think they're better than Spurs in this moment. I think they're better than Arsenal in this moment. But it's not a guarantee that they'll finish fifth, if you know what I mean. So I think if they play up to their best, I think they maybe sneak fourth or something if they play to their absolute best and things go their way. But obviously, time will tell, because if they proved me wrong in the past, and they've proven tons of people wrong in the past. And the fact is, you know, these are people who've won the league. They've won the league before, so yeah, we'll see. It's always great to be a pundit at the start of the season. These words never die, do they? They will come and find you.
That's true. And there's also the Europa League that they would have to play. And playing Thursday, Sunday might not be easy.
They did it last year. And then they got knocked out when they should have beaten or got through to the next stage. I was quite impressed with them last week in the Community Shield. I know it was against not a second-string Manchester City team, but a weakened Manchester City team. I thought they had a good shape to their side. They had a good understanding of what they were trying to do. There was a threat going forward. They had pace on the counter-attack. But again, they're going to be reliant on Jamie Vardy. You know, Jamie Vardy being at his very best. When they were doing so well in the league last season, Jamie Vardy was still scoring goals. He was still racing behind people and taking his chances. Towards the end of the season, when they started to struggle, he wasn't the same player for whatever reason, and they started to play with two up front. And Nacho's going to have a good season as well.
There's something really interesting as well, this start of the season, boys, is that we have big clashes coming up really, really early. Mm. I mean, the City's fixtures list for the first seven games, they will have to play Arsenal, Leicester, Chelsea, Liverpool, and I think there's a fifth big one as well. Or it's crazy, and we have Chelsea, Spurs, Arsenal as well. Yeah, and Spurs obviously on the opening day. I think there's an Arsenal Spurs coming quite early in September. Do we like those big games early, or would you rather a bit more later when everybody has settled in, you've got all the big signings and things like that?
I think we don't care as pundits. I think the players like it to be that little bit later, because I don't know what Nedham always thought, but it took 3 or 4 weeks just to get into your stride, to get your rhythm going, to feel confident about the way you were playing. So I'd like, as a player, I like the big games coming up, you know, sort of, and I like playing in sort of October, November, December. I never liked August. It was always too hot for me. I would say I'd like the game is that little bit later, the big games, but for pundits it's great.
Nathan?
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't really like those big ones early doors as well, because again, I struggle in August. I can't breathe, you know. Just give me a couple of weeks to get through it. But as again, with the big games, I think when there's something like there's a battle at the top of the league, the games feel like they carry more weight, which is why when you play them for the second time in the second half of the season, there's something to it. Like a Manchester derby in the opening game of the season, you get a bragging rights or whatever, but a Manchester derby, say, with a month to go in the season with both teams fighting for the league title, you know, it carries that little bit extra as well. So it's, I don't know, I think it's good to get people to be tuning in, to be watching and stuff like this. But then I think for the players as well, and probably the fan base, whether you win or lose, you get the feeling it's not definitive. You could lose the first game and then not really, it's not the end of the world. And I think that sort of feeling there kind of in some ways takes away from the fact that the games are so big so soon. But it is what it is. And I'm more than happy to be watching these games at the start, because it's been a good summer for watching football. And, you know, to roll into this, to see fans back in there, to start off with some ties, which on TV, which on paper look incredible. Like, let's get rolling, yeah?
And what you have to remember is Manchester City, because they didn't have all their players fit and available at the start of last season, didn't have a great start to last season, did they?
No, at all, yeah.
You know, they didn't play particularly well in the first 6-7 weeks. It was after a 5-2 defeat by Leicester, I think, that they started to come on strong.
Yeah.
So anything can happen in these early days.
But then, as we've been saying, this is going to be so competitive that if you missed your first five, six games, if you missed the start of the season where you're not playing well, you're not getting the points, you could find yourself 5, 6, 7 points behind, maybe, let's say, and then you might not be able to catch that this time.
Pep has addressed the fact that his team's not back, so he's almost trying to dampen expectations for these first few weeks, saying that, you know, is for City in this instance, the price of success, given it's a tournament year, is the fact that your players haven't been back for as long as, say, teams who don't have that many players playing international football. So we look at Leicester, for example, who had players who did play in the Euros, but they were able to field essentially what felt like a full-strength side last week. Whereas for City, there were players who'd been back in training 1 week, maybe a bit less. And that's the sort of balance in terms of trying to get ready for the start of the season, understanding it's important, but then trying to make sure that your players can last the whole season instead of throwing them in without having a break. Like, even, you know, we could relate to, say, Pedri playing for Barcelona now. Like he said that he will happily play whenever, but after having a 73-game season, you'd like to think you give him some time, but the price of that time is that you miss the start of the season. Yeah. So, as I say, there's a balance. You have to manage your players and think about a bigger picture and hope that it's not too damaging at the start, but then also put the trust in the players who are there already. Because, you know, they are capable, even if they're not essentially the team which you'd, I don't know, essentially play in a Champions League final or something like that.
As a coach, is it frustrating when you have to deal with this, some finish their season because of summer competition, summer tournament later? What do you do? Do you give them more holidays, less?
It's really difficult because when I was coaching, the most important time was pre-season. Mm. Not in terms of just the fitness, but it was important to get your philosophy across, how you were going to play, any change in tactics, what your game plan was, how you were going to defend, because you had all the players there together, all at the same fitness, and you could work on that throughout the pre-season, even the matches that you were playing, the pre-season matches. You're actually training in those games. If you haven't got those players available and fit enough, you can't do any of that work. So you're trying to do the work as the season is in progress. Mm. Much, much harder for a coach.
Yeah.
There's two clubs we haven't mentioned yet, boys, is Arsenal and Spurs. Where do we stand, Robbo? Both of them in transition, clearly. I mean, Arteta really has to convince now. We have to see what he's all about. He spent money on Ben White, for example, and you said when we were doing the show last week how important Ben White has to be for this team and how much he has to take to bring this solidity to the defence. Yeah. But it's a big season for Arteta and for Nuno, I guess, on the just in the North London.
Yeah, I mean, Nuno did brilliantly, didn't he, with Wolves over a period of time. They had a style of play. They had some very good players. You knew exactly what you were going to get from them. Would that he'd have to do a little bit more at Spurs with better players. Mm. And at the moment, I would say Spurs is in turmoil. They're not sure whether their main player, Harry Kane, is going to be there or wants to be there or whatever whether he's going to go. How do you cope with that? How are the crowd going to react to the new manager? How are they going to react to the way the team played? Because under Mourinho last season, their football was dire. Had there been a crowd at White Hart Lane, Mourinho wouldn't have lasted as long as he lasted, because the crowd would have got onto him long before that, because they're not the most patient supporters, Spurs. So I think Nuno's going to have to get off to a very good start, which I'm not sure he's going to.
Nathan, Arsenal, Spurs, who do you think is in the better shape right now for the start of the season?
Oh, it's so dicey. It's so dicey. I think the point you made about, say, at Spurs last season under Mourinho, if the crowd was there, I think the same thing could be said about Arteta for Arsenal when they hit some lows last season as well. Like that stadium there, the fans can be great, but they can show their emotion when things aren't going well, and that can get very, very hostile. And I think that's going to be the test for both managers this year. I think in Nuno, they might give him a fraction more time, but in Arteta, they probably won't. If they have a bad start to the season, I think they'll let him know from the get-go. So I suppose in some ways it's probably better right now, given the fact Kane is still at Spurs, no bids have been put in yet. I'd say Spurs are currently in a better position, but that's purely because they have a manager who is newer, and as a consequence, they'll give him more time. Whereas in Arteta, I think every game he's going to be judged like this could be his last, unless he goes on an incredible run and the team looks spectacular. And hopefully that's got a big thing to do with Ben White, but time will tell.
Yeah, and no European Cup. No European matches to play for Arsenal, which, again, we've said before, could be a huge boost in a season where the players have played almost non-stop for the last 18 months or something, to have
and
only
again,
one game a week.
It's good for Arteta. If he wants to get his philosophy across, if he wants to get his coaching points across, if he wants to try new formations, whatever he wants to do, or bed down one particular formation and one style of play, he's got the chance to do it now. There's no excuses for Arteta now. You know, he's been given a bit of money to spend. Yeah. Ben White, I think, is a good signing. I'm not sure he's the dominant player that I'm asking him to be, and he's going to go and be one of the best centre-halves in the league. We'll have to wait and see. But it's a big, big season for Arteta. I would say big first 4 or 5 weeks for Arteta.
Yeah. Anyone else that we think could make a push for a top six, top seven finish? Aston Villa, with the money from Jack Grealish, reinvesting, very clever signings. Leeds and Bielsa. Could they improve from last season? Anyone else that you see, boys, that could be the surprise?
So, having spoken with some people from Everton, they say their standard this season is they have to be in Europe. They say that's our goal, to be in Europe. And I think when you have that level of expectation, I expect that level of performance. I think they started off really well last year, but faded massively. But now they have a manager who has a better understanding of, say, trying to get those European-type positions. So...
It's a good job Nedham's not on with Gabbing it again. Every time somebody criticises Ancelotti or suggests now they've got a manager that's better than Ancelotti.
Yeah, clearly,
you have to be very careful. Gab loves Ancelotti.
That's a bad tackle.
No, Ancelotti's brilliant. I totally get that. And to be fair, as it came out of my mouth, I was a bit concerned. I thought, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Did I say that right? But I think that that's the... when I spoke to the people, it was for an interview, and they literally came. It was Seamus Coleman who said, "We are, our goal is to finish in Europe, definitive." Didn't say, didn't dance around it. He said it definitively. So that, I think that sets the tone. And I think when Rafa Benitez or whatever, like, that's fair. Like, you've got Rafa Benitez as manager, you're investing in these players, you've got this squad, and you say, this is what you want to do. But fine, I can't argue with that. But it'll be interesting to see how they'll do this year.
And it would be interesting with the returns of the fans to see the reception that Benitez will get.
But mind you, he's used to getting a bit of stick, isn't he? I mean, he had it at Chelsea where they just didn't sing his name or do anything towards him.
Yeah, I guess you're right. He's had his experience.
He's had it, and I don't think he had a great following at Real Madrid, did he?
No, it was difficult.
The fans weren't particularly keen on him there. So he's somebody that can bat off that and sort of just get on with it, I think. But it's going to be difficult for him.
And they will certainly have to sort out their home form because, as amazing as Carlo Ancelotti is,
of course,
the home form last season was just dire. Mm-hmm. A word on Leeds, maybe Aston Villa, the three promoted teams as well. Good luck to Norwich, Watford, and Brentford.
How did you say their name? Norwich.
Norwich.
Yeah, Norwich. Yeah.
I can't say Norwich.
You can't say Norwich. Say Norwich. Can
but
you?
I don't understand why you've got a W there. Why? What's the W doing there in that word if you don't use it? I'm just getting over Leicester and how you write Leicester and pronounce Leicester. So Norwich, I'm doing my best, but it's a struggle.
The one team you haven't mentioned is West Ham.
Yeah,
because
true.
West Ham had a very good season last year. We're in the top four until quite late on in the season. David Moyes did a great job with them. I think they're a side that are now well organised. They've got a belief about them. So they could be a side that are challenging for a Europa League spot, I think, come the end of the season.
I agree. The issue I have, and Nate, I'll pass you on to you after that, is you're going to play in Europe as well. And where are the signings? What do you expect? So Jesse Lingard has gone back to United.
Yep.
Whether they've tried to get him on a permanent deal and could not do it because they were priced out or he didn't want to come back, I don't know. But you sign Areola in goal, and certainly for your first 11, this is it, pretty much. And I'm just a bit surprised after such a great season that they didn't try to push a bit like an Aston Villa. I don't know, okay, it's easier when you get 100 million for one of your players, but and just try to establish themselves in that top six, try to get enough depth in their squad to be able to play well in Europe and domestically.
You obviously haven't looked at the history of the owners.
No, true. But
and that's the reason why they haven't spent any money.
True.
Yeah,
Nathan,
I get that.
West Ham?
Yeah, I get that. And I think with West Ham as well, it seems like most years, if a team does well, then going into the next season feels like you have to strengthen because everybody around you is strengthening because not everybody will be happy with where they were the season before. So for West Ham to essentially keep the same starting 11, whereas you see everybody around you who may be underperformed, who wants to achieve the same things as you, investing in more players, you know, investing in better players and so on, it's difficult to then look at them and say, I'm sure they'll be just as successful this year because it feels like, as I say, other people are stepping forward. But the league, the Europa League, is the conference? Are they in the Conference League or
Europa League?
Is that what it is?
No, Europa League. Yeah.
The Europa League.
Yeah.
You're in the Europa League, playing those games on Thursdays and then having to play league games on Sundays. Like, I've been through that. Like, that is a slog, and you need so many players to be on board and to be playing well for long testing periods of time if you want to be successful in that competition and in the Premier League. So it's going to be a tough, tough task for them. And maybe there'll be some investment later on in the window, but I think they will need that if they are to try and consolidate themselves into that top six or seven. Because, like, we're talking about Arsenal and Spurs having to bounce back and looking at Leeds and things like that. And to talk about a team which we've not mentioned yet, in terms of the top three, the three that were promoted from the Championship last year, the one to look out for, which I think is the most interesting for me, is Brentford. Because they come up with a certain style of play and a large bit of confidence about what they're doing. They're not coming up thinking that this will be tough for them. They're coming up having 100% belief that they're going to be successful with what they do at this level. And that might end up being a good thing, or it might end up being the worst thing in the world possible. So I'm very interested to see how they do and to see if that model can work at the highest level for a long period of time instead of, say, winning the first two games of the season, being top of the league and saying, this is it, we've cracked it.
Yeah, that's a good point, because we saw with Norwich, when they came up and tried to play the same way as they did and show a bit of naivety, defensively especially, and ended up going back down.
Well, Norwich weren't very good at playing out from the back, and they continued to try and do it, and then got caught on the ball. So it was always going to be a problem for them. Brentford, I saw them in the Championship quite a bit last season. They're a good side. They've got a manager really that knows what he's doing. Yeah. They've got some good players. They've got new players in as well. They've got a centre forward who scored a lot of goals last year, who will be, you know, full of confidence. I think they can cause one or two problems. I think they'll do well to survive relegation, but they will cause teams problems. And they've got they're another team that got a new stadium, although they had it last year.
Yeah.
They didn't have it full. This year it'll be a stadium that will have fans in it. I think it'd be great.
That's true. Well, let's see how this season pan out, boys. I think it's quite exciting. To have probably the most competitive title race for a long time with those top four, maybe top five, top six. Mm. And then even at the bottom, as we said, you know, I think there could be a lot of competition. So let's see what the Premier League brings us this season.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right, enough Premier League, Robbo. And first of all, before talking about Leo Messi and the unveiling in Paris on Wednesday, no, it wasn't me who shouted his name from the back of the room.
You sure?
I promise. I did join in later.
Of course you did, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I had a lot of messages, even from my own family, saying, we heard your voice, but I didn't start it at all. But then I did clap and I did, you know, everybody
kind
of joined in.
Why not? You were excited, weren't you?
Yeah, and the guy who did it, to be fair to him, was a former PSG player, now does the commentary on La Liga, Argentine like Messi, who played for Argentina, a striker in the 80s. And he was clearly very, very
what
excited.
What was his name?
Omar Da Fonseca.
Okay.
He played in France a lot for Monaco as well, and Toulouse and Tours. And Messi is his idol, has always been. Mm. And I think for him to see Messi there at the Parc des Princes, where he also played himself, was just too much to take on. And he said, let's have fun, let's celebrate him. So yeah. I didn't mind that. It was a very special day for me. Robbo, I don't know how you saw it and what you've made of it now, but I promise you, for me, being there was just extraordinary.
Well, I still think he's the best player in the world. There's no question about that in my mind. And for him to come to Paris, see him in a new shirt, see him try and replicate all the things he's done for Barcelona, I think it adds excitement to Liga. I think it adds excitement to the Champions League with him playing for PSG, because PSG have to be one of the favourites now. But if they weren't already one of the favourites, they have to be probably the main favourites. I expect him to be outstanding. The things we haven't really spoken about, or people don't speak about, is when you've been... He's still a human being. He's a great footballer, but a human being. He's been at one club for 20-odd years. He's lived in the same place for 20-odd years. He's had his family with him for all those years. He's now got to change to a new country. Mm. He's got to move all his family. He's got to go find another school for anywhere. That's not easy for anybody to do. And will that affect his performances on the pitch? I hope not, but it might affect his mentality. And that's something that nobody really talks about.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think the club are very much aware. They're doing everything. Mm. Like, we're going to find a school for the children. Mm. We're going to help you find a house. Do you want to live near Di Maria, so central Paris? Do you want to live near Neymar, which is a bit more in the suburbs, where you've got bigger houses?
I'd live nearer to Di Maria than Neymar.
Potentially. Security, because a few players that had burglaries recently. Mm. Don't worry, we've taken care of it now. It's no problem. Mm. So they've been very, very... And you saw yesterday, I mean, it felt like God was entering the stadium. Mm. He really did. The fans were incredible. And Paris is a city where football is great, and they've always loved it. But there's so much else to do that this is not. They don't live. The passion is not as big as in Marseille, for example, or in Lens in the north.
Well,
of
even
France.
When we were doing the European Championships in 2016, you'd go to Marseille, and the noise inside that stadium was unbelievable compared with when you went to Paris.
Yeah. So, but I've never seen, and this is my city, like this for a player. And of course, it's Messi, but Ronaldinho, Zlatan, Beckham, I don't know, Neymar even. It was nowhere near that crazy. Right. The Messi mania was just incredible on Wednesday, and they were queuing for hours and hours for shirts that was sold out in 2 hours anyway, but they were still queuing to get the T-shirt instead or whatever. And I just think it's incredible, and I want to see now when he plays. And
is there something in the back of your mind, though, that wishes that this was 2-3 years ago? Is there a worry that he might slightly be coming down?
Maybe. But in fairness, that they would not have been able to sign him 3 years ago.
No.
It would have been, he would not have wanted to leave anyway. And financially, the only way they could have done it, and already it's a bit borderline with financial fair play and everything else, the only way was that
they've never worried about that before, have they?
No, but I think this time they did, because they know people are going on and on and on about FFP, and it's right. But there was no transfer fee, and that's the only way they could have done it. And again, I think they pushed a bit for it, to be fair. But let's see, they said that revenues is going to increase massively. They're thinking about extending the stadium even more because they need more seats to also pay for Messi. It's just going to be
incredible.
And one
or two players will be looking over their shoulder thinking, am I going to be the one that's going to be chucked out or tried to be chucked out?
True, but if you're a Tilo Kehrer and a Sarabia, this is a lifetime opportunity, once in a lifetime opportunity to play with the greatest player of all time. So why would you want to leave? So you can also say, you know what, I don't want to go to Bayer Leverkusen, I want to play here with Messi, even if it's just 10 games in the French Cup.
But if a club says to you, if they come to Sarabia and say, you know, we want you to go to here, or we've agreed a fee with it, you know you're not wanted anymore.
No,
there's
true,
nothing worse than being at a football club when you know you're not wanted. Whether Messi's there or not, there'll be several players that will know that their time is probably up and they're going to have to go somewhere else to get a game.
That's a good point, Stu, and I don't know if eventually you almost force them to keep you because you want to play with Messi, if really that's your ultimate goal, or if you're right, if you say, okay, I understand I'm not wanted here, I'd rather go back to Germany and play 45 games this season. I don't know, it's interesting for Kylian Mbappe as well, because the PSG president yesterday again, Nasser Khalafi, said he's not going anywhere, he's excited to play with Messi. Okay, that's great, and you want, but then he's out of contract in the summer 2022 now. And El Khalafi yesterday was saying, okay, Mbappe has been asking us, I will extend if you get me a competitive team. All I want is winning. So if you show me that we can win here in Paris and that you're building that team, then okay, no problem. That's always, from day one, that was his biggest condition. Let's say, of course, there was money.
You're talking about the Champions League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you cannot tell me, if you're Kylian Mbappe or Wilfried, his dad, or their lawyer, you can't tell me this is not a competitive team. This is maybe the most competitive team in Europe with City, let's say. So if he doesn't extend, what kind of excuse can he find?
You can't have an excuse for that.
That's what Khalafi said yesterday. There's no excuse anymore.
No. You look at the squad that PSG have got. I know they've got to get rid of some players to accommodate Lionel Messi. But it's a fantastic lineup. You know, it's a lot of attacking players. I think they've got a couple of midfield players that can do the defensive role as well. They've got some good defenders. There's no excuse now for PSG not to win the Champions League. It's a magnificent team, and everybody will be fearful of them. You know, I haven't always been a great fan of Neymar, but I know what a great player he can be. And if he gets his discipline right, which he probably will do with Neymar there and Mbappe, that's a formidable front line. Yeah, that's as good as anything in the world, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, completely. I mean, we wrote a long story on the website about the inside story of the last 5 days or 6 days now in Messi's life, how he had to leave Barcelona and how he ended up in Paris, which, if you fancy it, is a really good read. There's one thing that is quite impressive, is that PSG managed to put together this contract, this package in 5 days. Yes, they had prepared it before, because last summer when he wanted to leave the first time, they they were hoping that they could convince him, so they put some sort of project together. But still, for a normal transfer, you would take five. You know, and I mean, really average player or like, you know, decent player.
Well, they just opened the drawer again and got the same contract out.
Probably, they changed a few things maybe there and there, because last year they would have had a transfer fee, not this year. But it's still impressive. And of course, when you have a lot of money, it helps you. I get that. But I still think that the club has worked really well and hard to make.
Well, they reacted quickly, didn't they? Nobody was expecting Barcelona to say on the day that they did that his career is finished at Barcelona. Yeah. So they got into it very quickly. They got all the deal done, you know, unveiled him, because that usually takes ages. Look at some of the transfers that have been going on during this summer. Completely. They've taken forever. It happened all so quickly. Yeah. And it's brilliant for PSG, and it's brilliant for Liga, and it's brilliant, I think, in the end for Messi.
Yeah, and I was, you know, on the phone to BT Sport yesterday, who for them, they extended their rights. They've had Ligue 1 since BT was created, and they're great. And I think BT grew a really good job with it. And now, a week ago, it was a normal season, if you want, for Ligue 1. Yeah, PSG, the big favourite for the league, and you've got Neymar and Mbappe still. And let's show that. And now suddenly you've got Messi coming. And you will have Messi on BT Sport like every weekend in the league, in the Champions League as well. And for those broadcasters all around the world, and also in France, Canal Plus didn't want their games. Now they will be able to show Messi live 22 games out of 38.
And do you think that would... It's going to increase the attendances at some of the other grounds, you know, the interest in the game. Because that's one of the problems that Ligue 1 has had over the years when I've been commentating on it. There hasn't always... So some of the lesser stadiums, they haven't had great crowds. It doesn't look particularly good because it's half empty. Will this inspire all the people to come out and watch Liga, or will it just inspire the PSG fans?
No, I think everyone. Certainly when PSG will be in town, this is the PSG All-Stars. Mm. This is the French equivalent of the Galacticos or the Harlem Globetrotters or whatever. This is going to feel special. And those clubs, when PSG go away, will put their prices up, and rightly so. The price for the box up, all hospitality will go up. So I think everybody will benefit from it. PSG even more, of course. We saw the shirt again, the sales, incredible, the revenues. We saw Sergio Ramos saying, hey, who would have told us, hey? Yeah. When they had all those battles, Real Madrid against Barcelona in La Liga, and now the teammates, even Sergio Ramos saying, if you don't want to stay at the hotel, come and live with us. We found our house. I have the whole family coming over. And this is what football does, I guess. But this is an incredible story, really, that I don't think, certainly for French football, we'll ever be beaten.
So it's Lille for the title again then?
Bordeaux?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't even want to even think about what can happen, because, PSG can walk that title. But I still think that Lyon are doing a good job. Shaqiri is on his way. Marseille doing a good job. Lille would be good. Nice would be good. Monaco would be fantastic with Kovac. But this is PSG's Leo Messi.
Pochettino, will he be able to mould them into a great side? You know, he's got to work around those players, hasn't he? He can't be the dictator. The players have almost got to have that sort of say as well in the side and how they play. It'd be interesting for Pochettino.
Yeah, because it was funny yesterday. Messi said, we asked him a question about, you know, how was the phone call with Poch? Mm. And he said, it was great. You know, the fact that he's from Argentina, like, helped massively. We've known each other for a long time, blah, blah, blah. And he also said, you know, he mentioned his philosophy and the style of play, what he wants to do, and that's all great. And I was thinking, hang on, his whole idea of football is intensity, high intensity, intensity runs, counter press, which is not what you do, Leo. Not what you do at all.
He did it for Pep for several years.
10 years ago.
When Barcelona were the high pressing team. But
10 years
again,
ago.
Exactly, 10 years ago.
And that was Pep.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see what we get. But I think this is an incredible story. And again, I understand the people who don't like it and people who say this is not the way football should be run and should happen and all of this. I get it. But trust me, if you're a PSG fan like me, it's just incredible.
Let's just hope he performs.
Yeah. And again, I can't see any reasons why right now it won't.
There's only one reason, and that's age, really.
Yeah.
You know, if his legs aren't quite what they were, or he can't perform on a regular basis to the level that he wants to, can't play with the same intensity.
True.
But at 34, I think he's kept himself in good shape.
Really
good. He's a great player. I think he should be able to do it for another couple of years.
I can't wait, Robbo. I cannot wait.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million dollar stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules.
Enough Messi Robo, eventually it's time for the quick hits.
Let's go, Jules.
La Liga starts this weekend, as we said, and it's live on ESPN. What can we expect, Robo? What do you expect?
A very tight title race. I mean, we don't really know, with Messi going, how good Barcelona, how bad they're going to be.
Yeah.
Real Madrid didn't have anybody in the Spanish national team at the European Championship, the first time for a long time. Atleti were good last season, won the title, but you still question whether they can do it again.
Yeah.
Are there any teams below them that might come to the fore? I think this is going to be a really exciting La Liga season. It's going to be tight at the top. And I think we're going to see Spanish teams play with a little bit more intensity. They've been criticised over the last year when we saw them in Europe, apart from Villarreal, who won the Europa League, criticised for not playing intensely enough.
Yeah.
I think that's going to change. I think the world of football is changing. And I think Spain have to change with it.
Yeah, you're right. Sevilla, maybe. But personally, I want to be more positive than the wave of negativity.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good season. It's not started on the pitch yet, but the battle continues between La Liga and Real Madrid. What's happening, Jules?
Crazy, Robo. Now, Real Madrid are going to sue Javier Tebas and La Liga for this deal. Do you remember that they've struck with CVC Capital, almost selling 10% of the league capital to that equity firm, a private equity firm? And Real Madrid said, we were not consulted enough. Mm. You know, this was not discussed enough with the clubs. This is not a good deal. So the mess is going to get even bigger now than what it was before. I don't know how they will resolve it. I don't know even what's the best thing to do, to be fair, but it's certainly not the kind of atmosphere that you want between your president, La Liga president, and the biggest club in the world in Real Madrid, and his president, and Barcelona, and maybe Atleti as well. So this is not a good look either, I think, for La Liga. Stu, what do you make of Arsenal trying to get Aaron Ramsdale as their new goalkeeper? It's quite a lot of money, around £30 million. Do you think it's a right move from Sheffield United?
And are they saying that he's going to be the number two or the number one? You know, if you're going to spend that amount of money, you'd like him to be the number one. But I'm not sure that's going to be the case. You know, Leno is still a decent enough keeper.
Really,
I'm not sure he's a great keeper, but he's a decent keeper. Do you want to spend that amount of money on a keeper that's going to come and be your number two? Does he want to come to a club where he's going to be number two when he's been a good goalkeeper at Sheffield United? I think they have to spend money on a goalkeeper because the number two goalkeepers haven't been good enough so far. It's a lot of money, but they had to spend it on somebody, so it could be a good deal for Arsenal in the end. The Bundesliga also kicks off this weekend, Jules. Bayern to make it 10 in a row, do you think? Or is there going to be somebody else that's going to just make things happen? There's a lot of managerial changes as well.
Loads. Everybody's changed. Mm. Obviously, Bayern Munich with Nagelsmann, RB Leipzig with Jesse Marsch, Borussia Dortmund with Marco Rose, Borussia Mönchengladbach with Adi Hütter. They've all changed. You know, it's like the musical chairs, isn't it?
Yeah.
They've all moved and changed and everything. So I think
a game you obviously didn't play in France because you had to think about that one, didn't you?
I just had to think. Yeah. How'd you call it in English again? So I think it makes it even more fascinating for La Liga, for Bundesliga, which should be on ESPN2, to see how Nagelsmann does and you know, how tactical he is with that Bayern squad, what Marco Rose does with Holland and Dortmund. I think we could have a really tight title race, let's hope so, and that could be a great deal. But yeah, of course,
is Nagelsmann the real deal?
I think he is. I really think he is. But let's see with the egos. He's never had a dressing room like this. Let's see how
he's
deals
got a big ego as well,
and he's got a big one too. But you would have to say that Bayern, you know, still have to be the favorite. For Mainz, however, Robo, it's not the same story. Very different start of the season. They've had, 14 last night, and that's 17 positive cases of COVID.
Well, as we are talking at the moment, the game is still going ahead against Leipzig because they've got at least 9 first-team squad members available. They've still got a goalkeeper available as well. It's going to be a tough game for them. I mean, how do you cope with that as the coach? How do you cope with it as the players? Yeah. You know, and are all the players feeling well enough? You know, it's going to be a massive game for them. You can't see them getting anything out of that game against Leipzig. No. But it looks as though it's going to go ahead and it won't be a good start for the season because it's not just going to be this week. Something else is going to happen.
Exactly. Unfortunately, we could be seeing that with other teams through the season.
So, this, not good times.
No, definitely not.
Jurgen Klopp, we're still staying on the German theme here. But Jurgen Klopp has essentially said that Liverpool have to sell before buying anybody. So Shaqiri to Lyon is a good thing, do you think?
So that pretty much that's what Klopp said. You know, we heard him saying, yeah, of course we want new signing. Only Konate has arrived at Liverpool right now. So, but it's almost hinted that the fact that we need to let some go before even recruiting. We know that they want a midfielder to replace Wijnaldum. They haven't been able to do that. I'm not sure if the Shaqiri money, which is around 8 million euros, is enough to be then for you to go and get a Locatelli or Yves Bissouma, Brighton or those kind of players. But certainly, I don't think Shaqiri had any hopes to play much with the front three and Diogo Jota already in that squad. So I guess,
because even when he did come on last season, he played almost as another midfield player, didn't he, Shaqiri?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because I don't think he's got the intensity to play up front for a club team. For Lyon, he could be very good, and Peter Bosch, and in Ligue 1 as well. That could suit him well. And now I want to see, I still think that Liverpool need more players between now and the start of the season if they want to compete with the other boys, as we said at the beginning of the show. It's as simple as that, I think.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The Euros are over and soon we will have the World Cup in Qatar, Robo. First, the qualifiers for that. And FIFA have taken the decision to not allow any away fans to go to games for the national team away from home because of the pandemic, because of the virus, which again, I think is the right call.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can still have, as long as you can have home fans, you can have a crowded stadium. You don't really want people travelling from other countries to come to a stadium. I think it's the right thing to do. It doesn't make for the right atmosphere at games. Of course it doesn't. But in terms of health and keeping the pandemic at bay, it's the right thing for FIFA to do.
For now, for sure. Yeah.
For now. I mean, when we saw some of the antics that went on at Wembley in the European Championships, all the things that could have gone wrong there, you can understand why FIFA are doing this.
Definitely.
Chelsea now won their first trophy of the season, the Super Cup.
Yeah.
Everything's going well for Thomas Tuchel. Another good season for him?
I thought that was a really good game.
Yeah.
I thought, considering this is still technically pre-season, I know there was a trophy at the end of it, but I thought this was really good from Chelsea, the first half hour especially, the way they pressed them and didn't let them breathe and didn't let them go out at all. And the goal, I thought, was very well taken by Ziyech, the run by Havertz, the cross, the ball from Alonso to Havertz. They struggled a bit more in the second half. I don't know if because they were not switched on after the break or maybe tired a little bit. And certainly Villarreal played much better in the second half, scored a really good goal too to take it to extra time and then penalties. I love the Kepa and Mendy swap just before, like Van Gaal did in the 2014 World Cup against Costa Rica with Holland, and Tim Krul coming on for Cillessen and winning that penalty shootout like Kepa did. I like when keeper do that, Robbo. As a coach, would you have done that? Is this something that you would have done?
He obviously thought, did he do it? There's two reasons why he might have done it. Because he thought that Kepa is a better penalty saver.
Yeah.
Or, secondly, to build his confidence up. I'm going to put you
maybe,
on.
Maybe.
And because goalkeeper can't lose in the penalty shot. He can only win, can't he?
That's true.
So if he makes a save and becomes the hero, then Kepa's back in favour. And his stock rises with the fans.
That's
so
true. That's true.
It's a good decision, I think, by Thomas Tuchel.
And I think well done to Tuchel. Yeah. The first trophy, as you said, after the Champions League. And now you've got Lukaku coming because we know he's in London. It's only a few hours before they make his contract official. And I think, as we've been saying,
he could be a great signing.
Decision-making, for sure. for Chelsea to have the season that we all expect them to have with Tuchel and with Lukaku in it. So great signing and great for them to get the season starting with this trophy. Robbo, some of the big clubs have been busier looking after their own squad than investing. It's the case of Bayern Munich, who have extended Joshua Kimmich, or are about to extend Joshua Kimmich's contract until 2025. Makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, in terms of Kimmich joining the club, because staying with the club because he's an outstanding player and you want to keep your best players. And that's something that sometimes clubs forget. They don't treat the players that have been there for a long time and their top players, don't treat them quite as well as they do incoming players. It's important that you get it right. You know, you still got to have players coming in, but you got to make sure you keep your best players. The players that you want, the players that are going to be the basis of the team, you have to make sure they're contracted up to a certain point.
Yeah.
Not paying them too much so you can never get rid of. And you also got to know the players. Which players won't get too complacent? Which players will continue to be top players? Mm. Kimmich is one of those.
Yeah.
Rangers, Malmo. Last week you said it was going to be a struggle. What happened, Jules?
Oh, man. So no Rangers in the Champions League, Robbo. They took the lead and came back to 2-2 on aggregate. You know there's no more away goals now. Malmo went down to 10 men. And then when you thought that Rangers in the second half would go and win that game and qualify for the playoff in the Champions League, they conceded two goals in the space of 3 minutes. Out, we saw other big results. Monaco have gone through, which we expected, and we play against Shakhtar in the playoff. But it's been quite an incredible, really, third round qualifier in the Champions League, which I guess bodes well for when Champions League comes back and we have all the big boys coming in and joining those teams that will qualify in the playoff next week. Well, that's all we have time for today, Robbo. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Always a joy being on the show with you.
Oh, thank you.
And Gab, of course. I mustn't leave Gab.
Yeah, of course. And a lot of excitement for the start of the Premier League, of La Liga, of the Bundesliga as well this weekend. And we'll review all of that with Gab, who is finally back from his holidays on Monday's show. So make sure you join us on Monday. Make sure you enjoy this show as well. And as Gab always said, love yourself, love your neighbour, love the game.